It's like generic 90s, like hip hop, like studio music.
Like, do, 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 do.
No, that definitely is not it, Goro.
Do, 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 do.
What game show are you doing? Is that like The Price is Right?
It sounds like
that was The Price is Right. Right.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. Come on down.
Welcome back, everyone, to S1E1, a show where each week we pick a different sitcom, watch just the first televised episode, and forgetting anything we might know about the future run of that show, rate it and decide if it's a show we want to greenlight or cancel. This week we're going to be talking about The Wayans Brothers. The Wayans Brothers went 101 episodes over 5 seasons on the WB. Today we're talking about episode 1, which is called Goop, Here It Is, originally airing January 11th, 1996. So to get things started, I'm Jake Gags. With me, as always, the boys, most of the boys, Nick, Ferg, and Gordo. What's going on, guys?
Hey, yo.
Hello.
It's Emmanuel Lewis.
Real quick, before we even get started, Joe can't be here this week. I just want to, just on behalf of all of us, he has his test tonight. He's going for his orange belt at his karate studio. So just wanted to wish him good luck with that, and hopefully we see you next week.
Good luck, Joe. You can do it.
So, yeah, the Wayans Brothers is... This is a show I've wanted to pick for a long time. This is my pick this week. I loved the show growing up. I watched a lot of it. What about you guys? Is this a show that you guys are like overly familiar with? Didn't watch? Where do you guys stand?
This one went way under my radar, apparently, because I don't remember it like at all.
I watched it all the time. I seem to remember a lot more time being spent in the diner in the normal episodes, not as much as... In this pilot, they spent a lot of time.
This pilot's very different feeling. And honestly, because she's not, I don't think she's in the season, but the girl D, like the cop, the security guard, like I'm used to her being in like every episode. So not seeing her like through the dynamic too, but.
Yeah.
And if Ferg's seen it, that means I've seen it plenty of times.
But do you remember seeing it?
No, I do actually. I do. The intro, definitely. I remember.
This was the show that like for Sean and Marlon Wayans, it put their names out there because their two brothers, Keenan Ivory Wayans and Damon Wayans, are like both, I think still maybe still the more popular two.
I would say like Marlon and Damon are probably the more famous.
Maybe
right?
Marlon's climbed up that rank now.
I'm just glad Joe's not here to cancel another Wayans brother.
I also didn't know that there is 10 siblings. There's 5 brothers sisters, which is insane.
But yeah, I was watching something that Marlon had said recently, and this show was like advertised, like not advertised, but critics were saying like, oh, the show from the not funny Wayans Brothers. Because the other two are so known for like, well, writing, directing, acting, like they've done it all. And these two just weren't as popular up until like they did some stuff. Were they, was it in Living Color they were on towards the end?
Yes.
Had Don't Be a Menace already come out?
I don't think so. Not by the time, maybe.
Don't Be a Menace was 96.
Oh, yeah, so a year into it. Yeah, because this came out in 95.
So would you say that Marlon Wayans' big thing was like a scary movie, right?
Well, both of them.
Sean, right. They were both in that. Yeah, yeah.
But I think Marlon has more, like, I don't think I've seen a lot of Sean without Marlon. But you see Marlon in a lot of things. Without Sean.
Right.
Yeah, He's a better character actor, I think.
Well, he kind of always plays that over the top.
Yeah. I noticed specifically in this show, Marlon's already there, but Sean, at least in this episode, he hasn't reached his full acting potential. I know he gets much better.
Yeah.
I'm not even shitting on him in this. He's just not as good as I know he gets later in life.
Damon Wayans Jr., who is Damon Wayans' clone. We did with New Girl.
And Happy Together.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe canceled both because he hates the Wayans brothers.
He does. He hates. That's why he refused to do the show.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, there was no Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb had this in at a 7.3, so not too bad. I want to also mention S1E1pod.com is where you can find all the links to our social media everywhere. You can listen to us, all our, like, S1E1 pod on Instagram and X, where you can interact with us. We like talking to you guys. We like just knowing the shows you want us to cover and how you found us, all that stuff like that. And that leads me into, I don't think we've mentioned it before, but as of right now, to mention it for the first time, April 16th, we're planning on having our second ever live show. So that's Tuesday, April 16th. So again, there'll be a lot more information in the coming weeks on our social media. So again, S1E1 pod, check that out and you'll get more details for that then. So hopefully we can find a time frame that works so we can get as many of you as possible. We know we have people listening in different time zones, so it's really tricky to get that to work out. But we're trying to iron out some final details with that.
Yeah, slide into our DMs. Say hi.
Slide at the Gordo's DMs.
Don't do that. I won't see it. Don't do that.
He'll see it. He's on Instagram so much.
If you want fart videos, slide into my DMs.
Who doesn't want fart videos?
To get right into the show, first scene, we see Sean and Marlon Williams, which I thought was weird. So
yeah, I thought that was weird too. But I mean, that happens often. Like,
but they named the show the Wayans Brothers.
Well, it was the Cosby Show, and they weren't the Cosbys.
I guess that's true.
I'm sure there's other instances of it too. I just can't think.
Yeah, to me, it felt like they could have just been Sean and Marlon Wayans. They kept their first names. The Cosby Show, man, that was a good example because I guess
the Huxtables and.
I mean, Tony Danza wasn't always...
No, he's Cliff Huxtable. Yeah, he doesn't keep his first name.
Heathcliff Huxtable.
I thought it was Constable, and I didn't want to say anything.
He thought it was Constable?
Constable. The cause. Constable.
I wish they had those, like, Bobby hats on the entire show.
We see Sean and Marlon sitting on the couch, and, I don't know, they're... It looks like they might be watching some sort of sporting event, and they're rooting on whatever's going on. And they both go to grab the last slice of pizza. They both come up with it, and they're kind of like back and forth.
Just so weird.
Nibbling at it, like licking it, like who's going to get it, until eventually Marlon like full on sneezes on it.
Gross.
It was strange because they each were taking bites, but no chunks were coming out. It was like... weird prop pizza.
I thought they were going to Lady and the Tramp it at first.
Yeah, they got pretty close there at one point. It was weird.
See, what I thought they were going with until they started arguing, because it took a while for them to realize that they each were holding it, I thought they were like saying they were poor. So they're each like, they have to share a single tiny slice of pizza.
It was I thought it was a weird way to introduce the characters.
It was. It was sure. Strange. It was funny though.
Yeah, I mean, you get that like kind of physical comedy, even with just a sneeze from Marlon. You get a vibe for the two, but interesting way to start things off. After he sneezes, obviously he wins over the slice. That gets into the intro. The intro, I think, is iconic. And it starts with that, like, they changed the music in the later seasons, I think, but the beginning was always the same. So you see the two of them kind of doing more of like a throwback to an older show, and they got the afros and sweaters on. And it's just we're brothers, we're happy, and we're singing, and we're colored, do-do-do-do, give me a high five. And then, like, they cut, wonderful, that's a wrap, and they kind of like, all right, enough of that, and then they get into the real world type thing, and then they get to look cool for the rest of the thing. the grandmother that they start to help across the street, and then they let go, and she gets hit by the bus. And it's like so.
I was not expecting that.
It was so 90s, like to have just the dummy fly in the air.
Yeah.
It was very, all that.
That's a good call, actually. It was very all that. Yeah.
Well, same time ish, right? You know, all that probably even started a little bit before this, I bet.
Yeah, probably around the same time.
Yeah, I really liked the intro. I thought that was, it was enough. It gives you a little bit of the funny character type stuff up front to kind of see that they can be silly and then. But also, we want you to think we're cool, which I think is the ultimate goal there.
Yeah, waving at the back of the bus at the grandma who made it to the crossing.
Yeah, she's, after she gets hit by the bus, she does safely make it onto the bench when she falls back from the sky.
Buddy, because the beginning's so iconic, I forgot about that part. It really caught me off guard. I was laughing my ass off over a stupid intro thing.
It's funny because, like, we talk about intros and, you know, all the time and, like, different music and, like, whether it, like, has, like, an iconic theme song or not. And, like, this doesn't, but just that front little line was so iconic that that's enough to stick with you. And you kind of forget what the rest of the music sounds like afterwards because you just remember that part up front.
Yeah, it's like generic 90s like hip hop like studio music.
Like do 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 do.
No, that definitely is not it, Gordo.
Do, 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 do.
What game show are you doing? Is that like The Price is Right?
It sounds
that
like
was The Price is Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Do, 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 do. Yeah. Come on down.
Oh, yeah, that is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I thought I was trying to put more of a spin on that to make it.
Remix.
Do, 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 do.
So, okay, after this intro, we get into the next scene, and we see Sean in the living room, and he's watching an infomercial while his girlfriend Lisa's on the phone, and she's trying to order something off, either that infomercial or something from the television. And, you know, he's talking about how these infomercials are the biggest ripoffs. Meanwhile, Lisa's trying to order two tubes of lipstick, and he's saying, like, they're charging you $10 for some lipstick that only costs 42 cents.
That's a bargain these days.
Yeah. I don't know how much lipstick costs. To be complete, if you told me the ballpark,
that's,
I have no
that's
idea.
An assumption. I assume it's expensive because women be shopping.
Yeah, I couldn't. If you gun to my head told me to like tell you within like anything, if you told me it's $5 or $30, I go, oh yeah, all right. Like I have no idea.
I think with lipstick, it's you know, the range.
It's all the brand.
Yeah, like Sephora will cost a lot of money, but
I'm just looking at Google lipstick prices.
Oh, I didn't know they made that.
Revlon is what? Do you think Google makes lipstick?
You said Google lipstick prices.
like Revlon is $6.50 at Walmart, and then you have your Clinique, which is $17.50. Then you have your Lancôme L'Absolu Rouge for $35.
That's what I used to use. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wide range by who makes it, but it's probably all the same shit.
I'm actually surprised it's not more expensive. So I take
back
my comment.
Yeah, honestly, it's not as bad as I thought.
I mean, that was just a quick Google search. So, I mean, I'm sure you can get the $150 lipstick.
Also, yeah, I know we have a lot of female listeners who are probably pulling their hair out right now as we sound like complete idiots. But
so message Gordo, how much does your lipstick cost?
Yeah, please message me.
So
you get a fart video in return.
So yeah, so he's going on about that, and there's also the joke about she says how she wants to have lips like Whitney Houston, and wouldn't you like that? And he's like, no, I'm not kissing anything that touches Bobby Brown's tongue.
I knew a Bobby Brown joke was gonna happen there.
The girl who plays Lisa, she was actually in like Waiting to Exhale with Whitney Houston like a year or two later or something like that. So this turns into him complimenting her lips, and they start kissing on the couch. And then Marlon walks in and he's crying. And this is, again, he's very animated. He's very much a character. He plays the role very extreme at all times.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, don't mind me. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. And I like that while he's crying, he flat out says, I'm only doing this for attention.
Yeah.
I would like to just say up front, I'd say that there is maybe two people in the world who could play this character and not also annoy the shit out of me. Like, this character, well, it's supposed to be annoying. I get that. But I mean, annoying in the bad way that, like, I don't want to watch it. And he's probably one of the only people who could actually do it well enough that I could find it amusing and not annoying more than anything.
Yeah, like, compare him to Chris Elliott and, what's the show we did?
Oh, Get a Life.
Oh, Get a Life.
Very similar whiny, like, fucking man-child shit.
Chris Elliott, like, also in Scary Movie.
True.
My good hand.
Grab my good hand. I just did the hand for people who can't see it.
We come to find out why he's crying. He was going to a club like the other night, and when he got there, the bouncer wouldn't let him in because he didn't like his hair.
Hey, fair point. Bouncers don't need to like
anything. I mean, dress code's a thing. I mean, I guess your hair does apply to it, right? It's possible that you can.
Was it that it was style bad or just, I mean, I guess that
I just think it wasn't styled at all.
I mean, well, if he was wearing what he was wearing when he walked in, I thought that he was wearing what he was wearing when he walked in, and he came immediately from being kicked out of the club. And I was like, well, you know, you kind of look.
I do feel like there was a couple scenes that were cut. Like maybe he tried to get in with that, and that's why his clothes are all torn up. The bouncers, you know, roughed him up a little.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Because also there's a scene, like, they cut, there's no scene where they're making this pomade stuff that we'll talk about later. He just, all of a sudden, he was the inventor, even though he came for his help.
I remember a time, a lot of us, I don't know who here would have been there, a bunch of us were one night, we're younger, we're going into the city, and I remember they, as we were like 100 feet away, the bouncer like yelled, like, looked at me, he's like, he's not getting in, because I was wearing like black boots, like black Timberland boots. It was like the winter time too, so there was like snow on the ground, but like I was wearing, like, I was dress code other than that. I had like jeans on and like a collared shirt or whatever. Because I was wearing boots, they wouldn't let us in whatever bar. And there was a lot of us that night too. It's like, you just refused all that money because I happen to have black boots on. And they were like nicer black boots too.
I've also not been let in because of black boots. Was it Jillian's or something too? It was like this place that shouldn't have a dress code. They like wouldn't let me in because I had fucking boots on. Dress codes are dumb, man. If you're ever trying to get into a place and you're having dress code issues, there are better places you could be at anyways.
Yeah, just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I remember when we were in Foxwoods, I had to buy dress shoes just to get in the club there. We were there for someone's birthday.
You remember when we were in the Seaport, we were trying to go to that rooftop place, and there was a sign out front with what your dress code is, and it was basically just, you can't wear exactly what Jay was wearing that day.
No sweatshirts, backwards hat.
I think I was just in a tank top, cargo shorts, sneakers, like the standard.
The sleeves thing is like the big issue with most dress codes, right? Like you have to have, I never understood the no hoods up thing. Remember, you take your hood up, take your hood down, or take your hat off. It's like, fucking why? Are we in like school right now? What are you doing?
I never understood the shoe thing. It's not like people are staring at each other's feet. Like it's dark. So only light is up top. You're only seeing the top half.
There's been bars where I got in trouble for hats that, like, you would never in a million years think you're not allowed to wear a hat in, because it's not like a fancy bar and I'm just in a baseball cap. It's like, this is a regular bar. It's not like a club. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, like Rhode Island strip clubs.
Well, that's a gentleman's club. I can see there being like more of a thing there, but like,
there's no gentleman there, my friend.
Straight up bars.
I could see in some places, like, they don't want a hat on because you can hide your face, like at a gentleman's club.
Yeah.
You know, or in like a hoodie, like you can pull the hood up. Like,
I mean, they let you in with your cowboy hat, didn't hide your face.
When the hell did I wear a cowboy hat?
That night you got kicked out and she called you a redneck or a hillbilly, not Rhode Island.
Well, that's because that strip club didn't have a dress code.
They could have stopped me that night.
They could have stopped me before I got in.
So I'd like to go back. Marlon and Lisa are going back and forth because I think she's laughing at the situation, and he's like, at least my hair's real, and she's like, so is mine. He's like, what, real horse or real goat? And then, like, when she goes after him, he goes, oh, you're a bad girl.
I died, the way he did it, it
was just so quick and smart. Like, it was really funny,
and it was like in the background too, like I wasn't expecting it.
I like that it was almost like it might have been off the cuff, because it was a funny joke, but it wasn't like paused to focus on it, which I think is even better sometimes when you just catch the things off to the side. Sean's taking Marlon into like the bedroom area or whatever to help him fix his hair, I guess. And that leaves Lisa alone in the room. And now she's calling up and making a call to like whatever that infomercial was to order the lipstick she wants. You can tell in the phone call that the gag is that she's using Sean's credit card for it.
Do you ever order something from an infomercial the old-fashioned way like that? I mean, now everything's online, but
I think I was too young.
You know what? If I'm being completely honest, if I'm thinking back, we're talking like way back. I bet anything I bought the Girls Gone Wild DVD, and it must have been like, I did buy the DVD, and it had to have been that way. And I'll say this. Well, when you're like 18, it's like, hey, buy these DVDs of girls' boobs. You're like, oh, that's amazing. The problem with those is that, like, it has you on like a subscription, and then like to cancel, like that's one of those things. Like, our office is open Tuesday from 8:05 to 8:07. So it's like, good luck ever canceling.
What is like the infomercial that stands? When you say infomercial, like your brain goes somewhere specific.
Oh, Magic Bullet, no doubt. I will never turn that off. It's still on to this day. I watch it the whole way through every time.
The iconic one was the Juice Man Juicer.
See, See, I really don't. The funny, I don't remember either of those.
You don't remember the magic bullet? They act like we could cover it. They act like it's a sitcom, and there's all these people standing around. They're like, "Hey, what are you making?" And there's one like bald guy, and his name's Berman. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but he's like hungover. He's like, "Ah, I hate broccoli," and I relate to him because I too hate broccoli, but. Then there's just like, for some reason, there's this like random old lady who like doesn't belong with this crew.
She's smoking a cigarette?
Like, yeah. She has an unlit cigarette and she's like, "Oh yeah, dinner's always a production." And then I can't shut it off. It's so good.
That one, these to be all the knife ones.
Okay, so the Ronco knives. It's that old guy. He's like, "You'll slice your tomatoes so thin, your in-laws will leave." But then do you guys remember the Red Devil grill? It's like this Australian guy like selling, and it's everybody out by a pool, and it's basically, it's just like a little propane grill, but it's got like a concave like wok style surface. I just remember the food they cooked on that looked fucking amazing. I mean, the grill itself like doesn't make any sense at all to own unless you had like 10 different wok tops to put on it. But yeah, my brain goes to the Ronco knives and the Red Devil
and
grill.
That rotisserie oven, the set it and forget it.
Oh yeah,
that's Ronco.
Yep.
I always go to, "You'll love my nuts."
The slap chop. Yeah.
You guys ever see the Wonder Boner?
What?
What?
It's a fish deboner. And there was it's a famous infomercial. It's called the Wonder Boner. The fish debones it. I'll send it to you. It's on YouTube.
They had to have known what they were doing.
Now, if you guys had to make an infomercial.
No. No, so the conversation was which one do you remember? It was the roundtable discussion, not so much that do we make up a fake product right now.
I mean, we could sell
podcasting.
No, if we had $1 million idea, we'd have $1 million, and we wouldn't be. I don't know.
My $1 million idea, and nobody steal this, listeners, is a coat hanger. That you put your coat on, and right before you come out, it gets warm. So then you're putting on a warm jacket, just like it came out of the laundry.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
That's actually not
a bad idea.
I mean,
someone will steal it, I'm sure.
Someone is going to steal
it. They better not. They better not.
Until your light's coat's on fire.
I think we'd be good at infomercials.
Why? What evidence do you have to support that?
In all honesty, Gordo, we're not good at anything. Why would we be good at that?
We're hardly good at this podcast we've been doing for 3 years.
I think we could be funny enough if someone was like, "Hey, please shill our Wonder Boner." We could shill that.
So, yeah, in any event, so in the next scene, Sean is in his Pop's restaurant, and he's trying to get money from him. Pop's is played by John Witherspoon. He passed, a few years ago now, but a legend. He was so funny, hilarious, from Friday as well. And I saw some, I don't know if you guys saw it, but they wanted, the show was originally going to be on NBC, but NBC wanted Danny Glover to play Pops. And they were like,
"Oh wow."
100% like, "No, it's going to be John Witherspoon." And like that fight, like kept them off of NBC and then led them to go to the WB.
Interesting. I wonder why though, because you got to imagine Danny Glover at the time is way more popular, right?
Yeah, so a lot of networks, when they can get a big name to attach to a show, they find that helps.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how most
things
work.
Nothing against Danny Glover, but like Pops is, like, that character is so iconic now. Like the idea of someone else playing him seems so
bizarre. He's so unique. You can't replicate him, yeah.
I mean, even in this episode right off the bat, like you just see this way about him that like he's so quick and sharp and like I don't know, I find him to be hilarious.
Did he do anything with Chappelle's show?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
I can't remember if he I think about something he did in like the more modern era, but maybe I might be just thinking way too far back then.
I mean, one of the most iconic scenes in, what is it, Friday, where he's taking a shit.
Oh yeah, with the air freshener.
Yeah.
He's so expressive.
Yeah. Yes, I will forever love him.
He's making the face spraying.
Yeah, spraying.
He's talking with Sean, and Sean wants $600. And essentially the idea is if he gets $600, he can get a half-hour show on public access TV.
Ooh.
Pops is like, $600? For that, I get your mom an operation and get her breast back up to where I can see them.
Now, is public access something different?
No.
Our public access is that weird lady doing yoga. And...
Yeah, but you're thinking of, like, this is a small town public access. So think of, like, PBS, which is still technically public access, right?
That's why I asked if it's something different, because I don't get it.
In other areas, like, people put money into production. Like, I remember when I
live in New York, so the scope of, like, where this is going to be viewed is much larger.
Like, I remember in Florida, there was guys who ran an auto dealership that, like, did, like, full-blown half-hour shows, like a skit show.
Well, we had Dollar Bill. We used to talk about Dollar Bill back in the day.
I love Dollar Bill.
Although theirs might be a little different, because Pops is like, public access? You mean like that Naked channel? And there's some, like, there's what, like a naked talk show host and stuff? Like, so I don't...
Well, that's the thing about public access, though. If you remember, Jay and I, and Gordo, did you do anything at our public access?
No.
You can technically have nudity.
Yeah, I mean, I did some nude work, but, you know, I tried, you know, not too much.
Isn't that why the station burned down?
It was actually the house across the street from the station. But Pops is like, you know, you have a better shot at getting my wooden arm before you get $600 for me. He's like, you don't have a wooden arm. Like, brains ain't your strong suit. And then Marlon walks in and he says, Marlon, if you're late again, I'm going to whoop you like that boy in Singapore. We were too young to, I think, really scope how big that story was. But that's the caning of Michael Fay. And he was the one who, like, the story was he was out in Singapore and he got caught. He was stealing road signs and he vandalized a bunch of cars in, like, a little over a week. The court sentenced him to be lashed 6 times with a cane, which became, like, this big deal, and, like, Clinton got involved and they're trying to prevent it from happening, and it became like this gigantic world news story. And Ferg, I guess you probably, if anyone, now you might remember Weird Al did that song Headline News, which is the parody of the Crash Test Dummy song, the one of the stories he does in his version is the caning of Michael Fay.
Oh, okay. He also does John Wayne Bobbitt. That's one of them too.
That's like one of those references that's very of the times, I guess. It's one of those things that if this was a modern show, Joe would hate, but because it's an older show, Joe would say, oh, that's so cool that they mentioned that. After this, Marlon takes his hat off and reveals his new hair, which is like a more, like, I don't want to say luxurious, but like a nicer curl, like a smooth curls, flowy hairstyle.
It's got like James Brown hair.
Yeah, yeah. That's not too far off. A little more curly, but yeah.
And it's clearly a wig.
Well, yeah, in real life, it's being explained that that's his new, like, permade that he created on his own.
There has to have been a scene that was cut, like, when they made
it. That made him create it?
Because they were together, and Sean was going to help him, and then all of a sudden he made that on his own.
Well, I mean, the reveal of what's in it is later in the episode, so you wouldn't want to see that in a scene if they're going to reveal that later. So, I mean, maybe not, but it's weird. This episode as a whole doesn't have, it's a normal length of episode, but not a lot happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah. I know what you mean. They go problem. And then the bulk of it is the infomercial.
Yeah. It takes up like a good half of the episode,
which I was surprised at, but I loved, not to tip my hat.
Yeah. They're both trying to sell this product on Pops and be like, look, but like it really works. I mean, I don't know how much explanation you need. If you look at Marlon's hair, it looks significantly different, but
yes.
They pan over to his two buddies who are at the booth with like a couple of girls. Their hair didn't look as nice though. Like one of their hairs, like one of the two guys that were there, I felt like their hair didn't look nice at all. So I don't know why that joke carried on to the two friends. I thought they should have had like similar hair to him, you know?
I think it was because they were sitting there with two girls. And maybe they don't normally come in with two girls.
But have them in the same wigs that Marlon's wearing.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't even really have the stuff in, and that's all set up to just impress him that, impress Pops that now they can get girls because they're using this product, even if they're not using it.
And again, to go into this like unique acting style and delivery of Pops' his character, when he sees them all sitting there, he's like, would you look at that big head boy over there macking those two little pretty girls looking like two macaronis? Macaronis. What's that? Why is he calling them macaronis?
I
don't
is this
know.
Something that like we just don't understand? Like, I don't know. Is this is there like some sort of a weird cultural thing where I don't like where girls are called macaronis that I don't know about?
You know, I have no idea. I think that he just says whatever comes to his mind, and that works for me.
But basically, just seeing them with these girls and the way it's being sold on them, they're all now convinced that this could be a million-dollar idea. So Pops is like, what do you do? Like, get the tea. You know, he made another weird like sound out of nowhere and offers to get his checkbook. And now they're all like, they're really excited by this. And they're like,
can I ask, is he's not their father, right? He just is called Pops.
No, I was under the impression that he's their father. I thought
it was like a look now.
Because I know that the diner's name is like Pops. So I don't know if like they just work for him and he's like a friend.
No,
because
he's listed as like Williams for his last name.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's listed as John Williams. So it's John, Sean, and Marlon Williams.
Okay. All right. Well.
So they're like, all right, we're gonna need a catchy name for this product. And first I think Marlon's like, how about the clapper? And then and they're like, no, it's gonna be like hair ball, no, hair Riet Tubman.
That one got me.
Yeah.
Also hermaphrodite.
Yeah, that was
I like
an
that
interesting one. Yeah.
Even though they kept going with that, they went a totally different pivot for the actual name that they go with, which is Goop Hair It Is.
Love it.
I love it.
Which is often said as hair. Einstein.
Hair.
Goop hair it is. And they're all dancing around, and that would be like I feel like a product. I think it's too niche, but like you could easily like make those labels and like just slap it on some bottles of like Vaseline and throw them on Etsy. But
yeah,
I don't know if enough people would get it. The next scene, we're back in their apartment and you see Sean like on the phone at the table, and there's all these jars in front of him like of the product, and like Lisa's in the background and she's boxing up all this stuff, and you come to find out Sean's on the phone with LaToya Jackson and he's trying to get her for the infomercial. He's like, what do you mean degraded? You pose butt naked with a snake. Lisa walks up after the phone call and he's like, oh, don't cry, we'll find someone. She's like, no, like I'm crying because it stinks. This product stinks. He's like, well, they can't smell it on TV.
Fair point.
Well, yeah, true. But I don't know why my brain always goes to this. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on here before, but kind of unrelated. So when the pandemic happened, and there was a shortage of hand sanitizer, and just like everybody just started making hand sanitizer, all these like off companies, and you just get it from whatever companies had it available. Wherever my job got it from at the time, the hand sanitizer just smelled like soy sauce, and it was so gross. But it was like that those early stages of COVID when everyone just thought they were going to die if they got near it. So like I'm just like putting this like soy sauce hand sanitizer on at all times, and my hands smell terrible, and it was like, you know, but it's for the greater good.
There was one that really smelled like tequila, and it was fucking gross. It was so gross.
We had one at my work. It smelled a lot like vinegar. It was really bad.
Yeah, the ones that like smelled like off-brand vodka and tequila.
I was just so amazed. I'm like, there's not that much stuff in this. Like, how does it have such a pungent odor? Anyways, while this is going on, Marlon walks into the apartment and he's got a man with him who's like obviously scared and kind of like being forced into the room, and he has a pillowcase over his head. And Marlon's like, hey, look who I got. And they take the pillowcase off and it's Garrett Morris, who like iconic, the OG cast of SNL.
Yeah, and he's from your favorite show, Two Broke Girls, Jay.
And he had a big stint on Two Broke Girls, which I don't know when we'll cover. Probably our fourth anniversary.
No. He's in the movie The Stuff, but I can't let it go without being said, even without Joe here, that he was in Coneheads.
I didn't want to mention it because I wanted Joe to listen and be upset that we didn't mention Coneheads. But, yeah.
Well, then just edit me.
Yeah. They're throwing a lot of cameos. You know, we don't, I mean, we see more as, well, soon we see another one, but they kind of jammed up this episode with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and it didn't feel forced or anything like that.
A lot of favors were called in for this pilot.
Yeah, it felt that way.
But it worked. I liked it.
They're trying to calm him down, like, hey, we just need you to work with us. He's like, doing what? Like, work with us. And like when Lisa said that, he's like, hey, like, I don't do pornos anymore. And then they're like, didn't Marlon even tell you why you're here? He's like, no. He's like, I was minding my own business. And I was coming out of my apartment on the way to the dentist. Next thing I knew, this freak jumps out of the bushes and puts a pillowcase over my head, starts dragging me by down 9th Avenue with like by my legs. And then he gets into the story where it's like, well, it wasn't easy. You're heavier than you look. And you scream like a girl. He's like, hell yeah, I was screaming, man. When you dropped that pillowcase on me, it was like Mississippi in 1961 all over. And you're like, oh, shit. Because, you know, you're thinking.
Yeah.
The obvious things that this story is going to lead to. But come to find out that he was just running from an ex-girlfriend and her ugly mother.
They had to be her ugly mother, not just her mother.
But, yeah, but the 90s definitely tested the water. A lot of these jokes are not super like bad or anything, but like iffy for today, which I think is problematic, but that's a whole other story. We've had that conversation. But they're explaining to him, hey, listen, we just want you to do this infomercial. We have this goop here. He's like, nah, man, sorry, I don't do commercials. He said, well, what if we let you sing opera? Is that like, I feel like this is where we need Joe, because I don't know what that reference is. Why would they be offering for him to sing opera?
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably something super obvious, too. And he's talking about how, like, nah, man, I got integrity. And he's like, you played Sporty James on Hunter.
Who did you play on Hunter?
I don't even know what Hunter is.
Don't look at me.
The description of the show is, Rick Hunter is a renegade cop who bends the rules and takes justice into his own hands. Partnered with the equally stunning and rebellious Sergeant McCall, the tough-minded duo set to crack down on LA's slimiest criminals.
Oh, that is such a Joe show.
Yeah, I bet you Joe really watched all of Hunter. Ran from 84 to 91. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind Joe's watched the show and probably owns it on Laserdisc. Yeah, so he's refusing to do this one way or another. And so they're like, you know what? Get out of here. And they push him out of the apartment. They're like, great. Now we have this cable station. We have no celebrity. And then it just turns into, well, I guess we could just use him. And Lisa's like, who? It's like, he's still here? Who? He's been here all morning. Like, why don't you just leave? Who? It's like, look, guys, we're desperate. We're going to have to. We might as well just use him. And then, because this is super random, there's no real setup. They don't explain why he's there. But come to find out, hey, Gary Coleman's in their apartment. I wasn't expecting Gary Coleman.
He's just been in the other room all morning.
It's so random. I mean, it's like...
But it tracks for that time. Gary Coleman, like, did everything.
He did do a lot.
No, this is past his time.
But he was the ass of, like, every joke in this time frame. And I no idea why, but he was, like, the ass of, like every joke.
The only thing I remember seeing him in this time frame is Dirty Work. What you talk about, Satan?
Oh, he was in an episode of Fresh Prince around now, right?
You're our resident Fresh Prince expert. You'd know.
It's just, I'm just going through Gary Coleman's thing, and it says he was in one.
No, I mean, but still, just the way that this was written in, it's like, obviously, there's not this intent for the writing to be super serious. Like, there's, you can have some plot holes here. The idea that Gary Coleman's just been silently hanging out in their house all day for no reason and unknown by Lisa, who's been there the whole time, too.
So I'd like to think he showed up for their ad, and at this point, they think they can find someone better. So they go, wait in the other room, we'll get back to you.
I guess that's possible. Slightly unbelievable, but possible.
That's how I read it, Ferg.
When he runs out, he's like, wow, this goop hair thing, like, it really makes my scalp tingle. And that's when Lisa's like, it's Emmanuel Lewis. And he just goes to, like, attack her, like, straight up, like, it's like being held back. Gordo, do you know who Emmanuel Lewis is?
Yeah, he was that guy in the W.
Yeah, nah, he played Webster.
Webster.
Oh, okay.
But they're often confused.
Oh, okay. It's been so long since I've seen, what is it, Webster?
I think they may have fought each other on Celebrity Boxing.
That sounds right, actually. Or at least Celebrity Deathmatch.
More likely, yeah. I really did like the way Gary Coleman reacted in the scene.
The show's got great physical comedy, which is weird because a lot of it is just stationary scenes, but they used everything.
So they're telling him, hey, listen, we've been doing a lot of thinking. We want you to endorse the product. And so he's in. And when they go to talk business, they like scoop him up and like just like plant him in a chair. There's a nice little, I mean, not a nice joke, but it's like kind of a little fourth wall thing when he's like, hey guys, and I don't work cheap. And like, oh, we know. And your parents get 90% of the check, right? He's like, well, actually I cut them back to 85. He had like notorious issues with like his financials and stuff.
It's sad, really.
Yeah, you see a lot of that. There's a lot of celebrity cases where, you know, because they're minors, the parents are in charge of their estate, but then a lot of money and then they do the wrong thing by it, even though it's their kids.
I would argue that there's probably more sad young actor stories than there are happy ones.
Probably, especially when you consider the amount that are actually successful versus never really truly made it, you know?
Yeah, especially back then, too. It was kind of like there was no real precedent, so like it was just kind of easier to exploit them, too. And, you know, not as, you know, in a public eye. So
now we cut to the studio and they're recording this infomercial. They're about to start. They're doing, you know, like some test runs and trying to get ready. And Pops is there and he's super excited. And he's like bragging to the guy who's like running the studio. Like, oh, those are my kids. Like, you know, they created this, all this. Like that guy is played by Mike Haggerty. He's been in like probably the most shows we've covered, like in pilot episodes.
And always like a secondary character too.
Yeah. But he was in Lucky Louie. He was in Get a Life.
Wayne's World.
He's in Friends.
Was he in the first episode?
I don't know. He was like the superintendent there. I can't remember if he was in the first episode, though.
Yeah, Mike Haggerty, RIP, passed away, I think, a couple years ago.
22, yeah.
And an S1E1 Hall of Famer, for sure, if I've ever seen one. I keep thinking about that, too, by the way. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, that you know, we're going to do something live soon. But I was wondering if we should start with some sort of a Hall of Fame type ceremony. Maybe it could be a separate standalone bonus or live thing where we do an award show or a Hall of Fame or something like that.
Yeah.
I am down to wear a suit whenever.
Real suit or tuxedo t-shirt?
No, wear a real suit. Either or. Whatever works. Whatever works. You know, Ferg will be upset he has to wear pants.
True.
Stand up right now, Ferg.
No.
I mean, yeah, if we record it like this, it'll be okay.
I'll be fine. I can Donald Duck anytime.
Actually, like, you see the news reports, like, when they were doing all, like, the COVID era news, like, there was a lot of guys who were legit just wearing their suit jackets and shirts with no pants.
I mean, I would if you're going to shoot me from the...
Yeah, what's the point? No reason to put them on.
I mean, you guys don't know what I'm wearing underneath this.
Could probably guess it's probably, like, sweat shorts and flip-flops.
Close. Sweatpants.
Right. And Crocs.
Yeah. And Crocs. Well, my Croc flops. Crocs actually makes like flip flop.
Wow, you're all in on the brand, huh?
I love Crocs.
Yeah.
I wish they would sponsor us.
I'm okay.
I'm going to buy you a pair of Crocs, Jay. You gotta tell
that
me
would be a waste
size.
Of money. Like,
have you tried them? Exactly. See, you don't know. Don't knock
it.
It
would do wonders for your bad ankle. So well cushioned.
Jay hates that he would like it.
I don't like the way they look, regardless of how they feel. I would not want to walk around in them. But in any event, Gary Coleman's looking for the dressing rooms, and he's told, we got a utility closet in the back. Just don't pee in the sink. During all this, like, kind of getting ready, Sean's asking Mike Haggerty's character, like, hey, listen, like, this goop's, like, the lights are drying my hair out. It's, like, drying in my head. Like, you think you could, like, once we start filming, dim the lights a little bit? And he kind of gets that like laugh, and he gets all, and everyone who works there is now laughing at him at the absurdity of this request, which didn't even seem that absurd.
No, it didn't.
Well, it's like a cheap public gas access channel, so they probably don't have the ability to dim the lights. It's probably on or off.
Yeah, I was going to say anytime I've ever worked any small scale stages, it's always been like, hey, can you do this with the lights? And I'm like, no, I can't do that, man. It's either on or off.
The counter is, if you know, I think they decide amongst themselves, well, if we can't get them to dim the lights, we'll just use extra goop. So right around here is when Marlon looks over at Gary Coleman, and he's like, hey, man, I'm kind of nervous. He's like, don't worry, it's television. Like, if you mess up, like, you can just do it again. It's not a big deal. And then no sooner does he say that, they find out that this whole thing is going to be live.
Which is really weird. There's no reason this needs to be live.
Infomercials are often live. Like, there's that famous one where the guy falls off the ladder. And the other one, another ladder one.
Those are like, yeah, like QVC style, I guess. Yeah, so I guess that makes sense. Like Home Shopping Network stuff.
I was going
like
to say,
live.
Are those infomercials, though? Those are like Home Shopping now. I think there, I feel like there is a difference.
Well, what it depends. What how do you define an infomercial? Because, I mean, technically,
the Home Shopping
metrics.
Ones, right? Like, there's a limited, like, supply. They're doing multiple products at the same time. Like, they're selling that ladder, and then they're going to be selling a sweater, and then they're going to be selling a necklace. Whereas this is like... This is just this one thing, and they could have done it like, you know, Ronco style with like the knife guy or the slap chop guy. None of those were live, so I don't really get why this is live. Obviously it's just a plot device, but still an interesting, it didn't seem necessary.
In my head canon, it's because they only paid $600, therefore they couldn't do multiple takes.
Yeah, they didn't want to do any editing.
You know what blows my mind? We did all this infomercial talk and no one brought up Billy Mays.
Billy Mays here. And the ShamWow guy who got like
R.I.P.
His... Oh, Billy Mays. I was going to say, ShamWow guy's alive.
Yeah, ShamWow Billy guy, Mays, no!
ShamWow guy had his like fucking... didn't he have his like lip bit by a hooker because he tried kissing her and like...
Yeah, that guy's name is like Vince something. There's like
the
a documentary
was,
on
like,
him.
Why did he try to kiss a hooker?
Maybe he paid for the girlfriend experience. And he was trying to get that experience.
I don't know if herpes is part of the experience, but...
How did that make the news, though? Was it just like a police report? Must have been.
Yeah, I forget the exact details. It was a while ago now, but in the episode, it flashes forward a little bit, and now we're right when they're about to go live. The infomercial starts with Sean, and he's like... He's doing like... I don't know what this character is.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
I feel like he pulls from Eddie Murphy a lot.
I mean, a lot of people did.
His name is Vince Shlomi, by the way.
What was it? Oh.
Shlomi.
Shlomi, you nuts.
Sean's doing that. Hi, people. I'm Sean Williams, and today I'm wearing a sensational new product called Goop. Here it is. And, like, I don't know, like, I mean, it was intended to be bad, but I didn't know exactly where he's aiming for with it.
It's like, what's your demographic?
Does it bug anybody else when they use their last name? I don't know why. It's just like they're the Wayans brothers and they're being referenced. And I don't like what a cop out, like not a cop out, but like I feel like Williams was just super lazy.
They just wanted a W name. It had to be something else. W
could have been Smith. That's more original.
Yes. So this infomercial that they're shooting has multiple pre-recorded segments and like skits.
They can't lower lights.
Yeah, but apparently it's like a mini SNL because they have all these comedy skits in between. The first one that we cut to is it's Sean like in line at a bar and he's trying to get in and they won't let him in. And then he sees Marlon's character who's like, he has like a fake like nose and mustache and chest hair. I don't know if he has a fake nose. He definitely has the mustache and chest hair.
Yeah.
And he gets to go in because he has all this cool product in his hair. And he's like, oh, hey, man, can I get like a little bit of that? He's like, no, sorry, man, you got to buy your own. And it's like, wow, what a dick.
This whole tub right here, but no.
But he does eventually buy his own. And you see him like later on head back that way now with the girl in each arm. Oh, and the part I didn't mention, too, is that the bouncer is being played by Pops, who's like...
He's got a muscle suit on.
it's a football... It's like football pad and jersey, but I think he's wearing it to look like muscles.
Yeah.
Because he's just got, like, the shoulder pads with the tight, like, shirt over and a bandana, which I thought was hilarious.
And it's bright yellow.
I was going to bring up, too, that the crowd they got for this show, for the live studio audience, is fire. Like, they... are going nuts throughout the entire episode. Every joke they make, the funniest thing they've ever heard.
The skit enters with or ends with him being able to go inside of the bar because of the product now. And then they flash to the next skit, and it's Marlon in a wheelchair, and he's handicapped.
He's playing basketball.
This would not fly today.
This would absolutely not fly today.
No, and he pulls up to the basketball court, and he's like, can I play? Everyone's like, no.
Until he, you know, puts a little goop hair it is in his hair, and then you just see him, like, on the court. He's out of the chair. He's running circles around everybody. He's dunking.
I don't know. I was not expecting that. And it killed me.
It is funny. I mean, we talk about this so many times now, I feel, but with the, you know, with the generation changing and stuff, and you know, what was once normal for the 90s now just would not fly. I'm like, I feel like back then I wouldn't have thought much of it other than, haha, that's funny. And now you like, you're like, whoa, I can't believe they did that back then. That's crazy.
It is weird, man. Times change.
Yeah, like I said, you see him playing basketball and he's doing pretty good. And he just runs up to the camera. He's like, thanks, Coop. Here it is. And after that, we get back to the station and, you know, it's more selling. It's like, oh, like, is this a miracle product or what? And now it's like, now the moment we've all been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen, the man who invented Goop, here it is, Mr. Marlon Williams. And he comes out and he does that. He does this in the earlier when they talk about it too. I didn't talk about it. He does the hello out there in TV land. So this is a part of the infomercial where they finally introduce Gary Coleman, and he comes out and he's introduces, like, you know, how he's a star of screen, stage, television, and a high score at every arcade in town. And when they ask him what he's up to, he's talking about how he has this like new movie that he's been, that he's like the star of. And like, it's all thanks to Goop, by the way. Somehow this hair product has really turned his life around.
Yeah.
But the movie he's in is The Man with the Tiny Gun. They do again the look at our monitors. And he's doing like the James Bond thing. And it's like, instead of having like the silhouette of legs, they just have like a taller girl walk across him because he's, you know, he's a shorter guy. I don't know. When I saw the legs go past him, I thought that was fucking hilarious.
When he shoots and he's like, oh, my foot. That's what got me.
They cut back and they're like, yeah, not only does it revive your hair, it revives your career.
Yeah, it was just a little
waka,
rough.
Waka, waka, waka.
It's a stretch, but it works when it worked when he said it. I don't know. Not so much when I say it. And now we come to find out how much this Goop is going to be. Man, for 2024, this is a lot of money. For 95 or whatever, this is insane. We find out one jar of Goop is $60.
That's insane. Yeah.
It cures being in a wheelchair, Jay. That's a bargain.
And I like the fight with Gary Coleman's like, wait a minute. Couldn't we give these people a discount just for today only? Like, well, Gary, that's none of your business. But since we love your new movie, we're going to take your advice and we're going to bring it down from $60 to $59.99.
Am I the only one that saw that joke coming?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, good. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be a penny. I thought maybe like they were going to like knock like $2 off the one penny.
The idea of that amount of money for that kind of product, I mean, I feel like for the time that had to be extreme. If it's flagging me modern day is way too expensive, then it had to be absurd for then.
Yeah, I don't spend that much money on hair product. I don't spend any money on hair product.
I was going to say, I never use any hair products, so...
I spend more than that on cologne.
I got a tube of the paste I use for my hair is like $50, but it lasts me years. Like I don't style my hair.
I couldn't tell you the last time I put something in my hair. Actually, I could inadvertently. Did I tell you what happened to me like a week ago?
I don't think so.
No.
So in my bathroom, there's a couple like spray bottles. The front of my hair when I'm getting ready for work is like not like moving up the way I normally move it. Like I must have slept on it weird and it was just like not coming back. So I'm like, oh, I'll put a couple squirts of water in it, and then I'll be able to comb it up. I'll be fine. So I grab the water bottle. Thing is full of baby oil. So I squirt baby oil into my head, and I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, you go Razor Ramon mode that whole day?
Yeah, it's like it was so greasy. Like I could feel it in my – it wasn't that crazy because it wasn't that much. And like it's not like the weirdest thing to put in your hair, but it's someone who never wears any hair product. Like, I tried wiping as much of it out with a towel before
I
left.
Baby oil in a squirt bottle?
It's a great question, and I wish I had an answer for it, but I don't. I ended up having to deal with that all day long. Anyways, to get back into this, we look back at Gary Coleman, and we start to see his hair is, like, smoking under the lights. He's like, is it hot in here? I smell rubber burning.
There's nothing worse than the smell of burnt hair.
Yeah, burnt hair is gross. Basically, from this point forward, it's like chaotic because his hair is catching fire under these hot lights. We know now that there's something wrong with his Goop. And Sean asks Marlon, like, what the hell did you put in this stuff? It's like nothing. It's just Vaseline, bacon fat, and Drano.
I didn't know Drano was combustible like that.
It is in sitcom world.
That's how it blows up your pipes.
Well, I didn't think it actually blew them up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all these volatile chemicals. I'm sure one of them is flammable.
I was thinking of just the bacon fat.
Like, I was going to say, like, bacon, I've lit bacon on fire plenty of times. Like, oh, shit.
Bacon grease, like, oh, that sticks.
Drano is made from sodium hypochlorite, or bleach, and sodium hydroxide, lye, sodium chloride, sodium nitrate, and aluminum. So all the sodiums and some aluminum, that's what, I guess one of those is flammable, or all of them together is flammable.
I mean, the lye alone, that'll eat away at their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, actually, yeah.
I mean, they could have just put Vaseline and bacon fat.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have caught fire for the comedic relief of this episode.
Right, exactly. When Gary's like, my hair, and a clump comes off. And he's trying to sell, he's like, but look how soft and silky it is, like, as it's not even attached to his head anymore.
FYI, the smoke, they did a really good job. I don't know how they did it, but, like, the smoke and their hair, like, just kept coming out. I don't know, you know, what the technology was behind it.
I could have sworn I saw something about, like, how they do, like, that kind of prop smoke before.
Like, just put a piece of dry ice under the wick.
Yes. Yeah, no, this looked like actual smoke. Like, it was lingering like smoke. So it was probably like some sort of smoke bomb.
Fed by a tube through a thing.
That's
on
what
back.
I was thinking too. Yeah, but they were moving around a lot, so I'm not sure.
Did you see when Garrett Coleman's just like on the stage, just like on his like knees and just rubbing his head across the stage yeah. trying to take it out?
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, we knew when they were doing this infomercial that something was going to go wrong. I didn't know their heads were going to catch on fire. Once they mentioned the lamps, it got obvious. But before that scene, what did you guys think was going to go wrong?
I honestly don't know. Like, I didn't have an idea. I was just kind of engaged in watching. I didn't really come up with anything.
Like, from when Gary Coleman said, this really makes your head tingle, I thought he was going to go to scratch his head and his whole hair was going to come off and he was just going to be bald. Something like that.
I don't think fire would have came to mind, but if I had heard that, like, that would be the actual ending, and something like that where, like, your hair's almost like burning off from the chemicals, like, I feel like that would have been believable.
Yeah, going bald would have probably been my guess if I had to guess something,
because you knew they weren't gonna succeed. That'd be a very boring show.
Yeah, again, like, this chaos, everyone's wrestling around with one another now. Marlon's like smacking Gary Coleman in the head with like papers,
and he's just making it worse. My favorite is Pops goes up there as everybody's like hair starts smoking, and he's like, look, a fire sale. As all the chaos is going down, he's holding it up going, fire sale, fire sale.
It's a true salesman.
Funny thing is, if say you take that fire away, even like how as goofy as it was, that product would have sold based on the funny name alone.
Yeah.
Think of like fucking vaporize, which is from a movie. What's it called? Poopery,
yeah.
Does that even work? Like, I never remember to, I'm never in a point where I'm like, oh my God, I got to take a stinky dump. And then I spray that beforehand. Got to remember to spray my poopery.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is meant to be sprayed beforehand.
Yeah.
So I imagine a lot of people forget like that too.
That can't be good for your pipes if it's making like a film over the whole thing. So like it traps it.
It doesn't make a film.
Yes, it does. You spray it, it makes a film on the water. So when you shit, it goes through. And then it's held under that film so the smell doesn't come up.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to spray the air and then, like, the air stays. No, I didn't know you were supposed to spray the water. Wow, you just blew my mind. That's crazy.
You're supposed to spray the bowl.
Nick's just been eating it this whole time.
This isn't working.
Banaka.
But yeah, I can confirm that, like, I never do it according to directions. So it just makes, it's like Febreze. Like, I also have Febreze in there. And it's like the worst thing to spray afterwards. It's just like poo and Febreze.
Ah, the old Poo-breeze.
Poo-breeze. There we go. There's our product.
No, it's not. I'm not fucking selling your poo-pourri.
Yeah, because that already exists.
It does already exist. But if they wanted to sponsor us and have S1E1 flavors, or scents, rather, not flavors. I got the Gordo.
It's so oniony.
Like onion and socks.
Probably better than poop.
Debatable.
Well, what would be your scent, Ferg? If you had a potpourri.
Cereal? Because I'm always vaping.
I'd do salami. A little spritz of the Genoa in the air.
Jay?
Potpourri, isn't that its own smell anyways? You don't, like, pick your potpourri smell, right?
Yeah, but we're talking potpourri. Just if you had a scent that was, like, for an air freshener, what would your scent be? Like, O to J.
Like, when I buy candles and stuff, I like fruity ones. That'd probably be some sort of tropical fruit smell.
Okay.
Nothing better.
So we got onions, we got some cereal, we got some salami, and, you know, some tropical fruit.
Onion, cereal, salami, and fruit. That's it. It's a well-balanced it's just breakfast. Terrible.
Well, it's not all in one. It's a full set.
I'm saying you spray them all. Do that to your enemies. You get a stink bomb.
So as all this stuff is happening, Pops runs up on stage and he's trying to salvage what's going on here to not have, you know, completely wasted his money. He's like, look, they're all fighting over Goop. And I also like when he saw Gary Coleman, he's like, I'm not paying you $600 for you to roll around on the carpet.
By the way, that $600 is worth $1,280.62 today.
And we cut to, like, the next scene, which is, I assume, the following day, and they're in the restaurant, and you see Lisa tending to Sean's burnt head, and it's like, he'd be bald if it wasn't for these, like, just kind of, like, spikes of hair, like big clusters, like, I didn't know how to best describe it. I felt like there was something comparable. It's like, you instinctively want to say Coolio, but it's not that.
I mean, it kind of is. That's what I would have gone with. Like, if saying Coolio gets that point across, like, everybody knows what you're talking about. Bald, except for a few, like, locks hanging off.
The guy from Korn.
Doesn't he just have a regular old full hair?
I thought he had four braids. Most of it was bald. I don't know. I hate Korn.
Both kinds?
No, I like real Korn.
Real? A vegetable you like?
It's funny, too, because Korn is, like, nutritionally empty. Of course, Ferg's like, there's like no benefit at all to eating corn.
They're all reflecting at the restaurant, saying, I feel bad for Gary Coleman. I think you killed him. Like, I had to put that fire out somehow. It's like, yeah, but you didn't have to stomp on him.
Which is sad when you know how Gary Coleman really died.
Get stomped?
He fell and hit his head and died.
No shit.
At least he didn't get stomped by one of the Wayans brothers.
That's true. Why?
And we find out that, you know, ultimately Pops is the one who took the bath on this financially. So Sean and Marlon are going to have to work for him for free for the foreseeable future. And at least he's giving them, like, I don't know, $20 or so a shift. It'll add up quick enough.
I mean, he said you'll be cleaning the kitchen on weekends for, like, what, 600 years, something like that. I forget what the exact quote was. I mean, if he's only giving them weekend shifts, that ain't too bad.
Yeah, and they were like, well, why is it? Why are you paying us so little?
Well, it's actually, they're not the lowest paid on his payroll. This, what's his name, like Hopstein? The guy working in the kitchen who makes even less than they do.
And he likes it, according to Pops.
And he's told it's not a total loss. You know, technically we only lost $540.01. And it's like, oh, well, how'd that happen? It's like someone actually bought a jar. And that's when we go back and we see Garrett Morris run out. And he has like the burnt head as well.
And he's got a baseball bat.
Yeah, so he's pissed off.
I feel like they could still recoup their money. Not everybody watched that channel, so you sell it in the street and like for like 20.
Yeah, because it's not like today where like that clip is going to go viral, right? Only the people who saw it, and that was it. You know, that public access isn't going to run it anymore. They already paid their money. They played it live. That was it. So if you missed it, you missed it. So you're right. They probably could have made their money.
So Garrett chases the guys outside of the restaurant in anger. You know, that's the whole, oh, he's pissed at me, but I have to wait. So when they all get out of the building, now it's just like this older woman who's like sitting at the counter area of the restaurant and she's talking to Pops. And this is like a callback to an earlier joke. And she's like, wasn't that Ben Vereen? I should have done my homework. I wasn't sure who he was. So
he's from, hold on, because I looked this up when I actually watched the show. He's from Roots. He's from... I mean, I don't really see the getting him confused.
Oh, that guy. Ben Vereen. Did he play Mayor Ben in Zoobly Zoo? Hold on. I'm going to have to do a little homework now.
Yes, he did.
Did he really?
He did.
As soon as I saw his face, I knew it.
It's his second credit.
wait a minute. Oh my God. It's all coming to me. I never put two and two together. Ben Vereen, who played Mayor Ben, was also Will Smith's dad in The Fresh Prince.
Oh shit. Yeah, that is. Yep.
My world's blown right now. The things that are like all the stuff clicking together, this is the same guy, is wild to me. I don't think Zubly Zoo ever got its fair shake.
I mean, it was the end of our childhoods. Like,
I don't know. I watched it pretty religiously.
I was going to say, I have never heard anybody reference that show, but Jay's referenced it a bunch of times in his life.
Zubly Zoo. Zubly Zoo. Take it, Jay.
Magic and wonder are waiting for you. That show came out in 86. That's when I came out. So, oh, that's so crazy. So now I know who Ben Vereen is. I wish I looked it up earlier. Actually, you know what?
Now I know who Ben Vereen is.
And now you got to have the revelation.
It was fun. It was fun to discover that on the show. So, you know, I'm glad it happened that way.
See, man, research is for saps. Discover on the show.
For the credit scene, we got just this, like, the credits are rolling, and you just see Gary Coleman, and he's accepting an award. It's made to look like some award show. In his acceptance speech, we find out that basically the way it's worded is due to some like traumatic experiences, that being his hair catching on fire from the Goop, helped him like prepping for this role, because apparently he's winning this award for playing Richard Pryor in The Day My Crack Pipe Exploded. So there was a silver lining to the whole Goop hair days experience. And yeah, that's the conclusion of the episode. This is one of those shows that I feel like it went over 100 episodes. So it has like the metrics, especially from like old school, to like be syndicated. And it's not really like on anywhere right now. And I don't quite understand why. I felt like the show had like a pretty good run and fan base. So I don't know why it's hiding right now from streamers.
Who would own it?
WB.
Oh, we've said this before. WB shows seem to be hard to track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like all the stuff went down with it.
Yeah, like they didn't sell that library off or whatever.
I wonder if they're going to have their own network. Not network, but I mean streaming service, rather.
Again, to our knowledge, like they don't have any, like they'd have to sell off just their tape library to somebody, but not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they have all this back catalog. I mean, they also have other entities.
They merged with what? UPN, and then became, what, the CW?
Yes.
Yeah. I think what has CW shows. Netflix had, like, The Flash and stuff, a few of those.
They're kind of spread out. They're not on one specific.
Yeah, they're not on any specific channel.
HBO Max, I think, because they also do, like, Looney Tunes and stuff.
Not too much else to say as far as the show goes. I mean, it had its run. This is just kind of the tip of the iceberg to talk about just that first episode like that. But yeah, again, Shauna Mullen too, like we didn't mention it, but White Chicks is one of the like just most hilarious movies. And I don't think we brought that up. So I wanted to take a quick second to acknowledge that movie.
Yeah. And they were the writers for Scary Movie when it was good. Once they left, they got terrible.
They kept making those movies.
Well, they worked on 1 and 2 as the writing team, and then they left for like all of them after 2. And you don't hear anyone talk about any of them after 2 for that reason.
But they kept making the Scary Movies, is what I was saying.
Because they make money. As long as they make money, they'll keep doing it.
I'm surprised they haven't made one recently with like.
I would expect that's because they stopped making money. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, Scary Movies changed too, because now you have all like these paranormal type scare, like Ferg, you would know better than any of us, really. But like the horror genre changed so much. I feel like in the past 10 years that they could make a whole new scary movie just based off of how horror movies are made now.
It's true.
The last one was made in 2013.
Yeah, they really leaned into the Asian horror movie craze with like The Ring and yeah, The Grudge yeah. and stuff. So you're right, because now we have like The Conjuring and the Insidious, all those type right, movies. Yeah. They could parody those. The problem is once the Wayans brothers left, they stopped parodying horror movies, and they just did like a horror movie with references that were just pop culture.
Yeah.
So they weren't referencing, like, it got really like dumbed down, and it ruined it.
Because they were really just parodying Scream originally. Yeah. Like that was just correct. It. Like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, really.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I mean, if they could get the cast and, you know, some new horror style, I think it would be a fucking hit. Especially, I mean, what's Anna Faris doing right now? She'd be the lead. Was she the lead in all of them?
All but the last one.
I was going to say, I don't think she did the last one, right?
I thought it was just the first two.
Nope, all but the last one.
But yeah, with all that in mind, I think we pretty much covered everything we need to cover on this one. So again, without Joe here, in the event of a tie, just make sure you go to S21 Pod. Go there anyways. But at some point, we will post a picture that will include his vote along with ours. But to get into them right now, Nick, starting with you.
Yeah, I mean, this is just it's a zany, fun watch. The Duane's brothers, they are just, you're just kind of magnetized towards them. They're fun to watch. The rest of the supporting cast was great. The shoehorning Gary Coleman in there, I mean, that doesn't really lead to the rest of the show. Does anybody know? Does he make more appearances in the show, or is this like a one-time thing?
I don't think so.
It's got to be a one-time thing. But yeah, I mean, it's my only gripe with it is I feel like maybe I could get sick of it quickly. So, but I mean, that's not obviously a good enough reason to cancel it. I would definitely give it a shot. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward, checks all the boxes sitcom. It's funny. It's just a green light for me. I don't really have any good way of explaining why right now. I just enjoyed it and I would watch more. So it's a green light.
Ferg.
Yeah, I agree with Nick. Green light for me. It's a product of its time, which is the 90s. A lot of it wouldn't fly now, but it flew then and I liked it. That's why I watched it back then. I guess them being brothers, you get that chemistry that you're not going to get with just two random actors, which makes everything better, I believe. It's just fun from start to finish. There's a few holes. It's not a perfect show. If you like that kind of like silly comedy, I mean, this is for you. And yeah, green light for me.
Gordo.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything that other people already haven't said. It's a green light for me. I enjoyed it. It was funny writing. The physical comedy was not what I expected from the show. I thought it would be more dialogue-based funny, but the skits got me, Pops got me. Yeah, green light for me.
Yeah, so as far as the actual episode goes, and this is where it's like disconnecting the future, I know the show gets a lot better, and it's this episode here to me was a little clunky and weird. However, I just think that there's just something there between the two brothers that's really funny. And even though it wasn't quite ironed out yet, I think there was a lot of, I don't know, reason to maybe raise an eyebrow and want to see a little bit more. So maybe it's not that the episode was bad per se. It's just that I know that their capabilities are much higher than what they were here. But yeah, to not ramble on, that was enough to give me the green light on that as well. So with that in mind, doesn't matter what Joe's vote is, but still go to S21 Pod and give us a follow, and you can see that graphic later in the week. However, a perfect score for the Wayans brothers, so congratulations. You live on to see episode 2 with us. I want to remind everyone once again, go to S1E1Pod.com. That's where you can find all the links to all our social media. That's where you can find everywhere you can listen to us. Rate, review, subscribe. All those little review things do help us a lot in the algorithms, so we appreciate that stuff greatly. Spread the news. Talk to us. Like I said, we want to hear from you. Until then, we'll catch you again next week with another new episode. And thank you. Goodbye.
I think we got the best Gary Coleman on fire rolling around on a carpet.